Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. It's fall up here in Canada, and the leaves are all changing colors. It's almost Canadian Thanksgiving, so I've got a whole weekend of eating lots of food to look forward to. So, yeah, things are well.
Nice, nice. Doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah. How are things with you?
School's kicked off. I feel like we're over the hump of the initial kids back in school, chaos, schedule changes, all of that. Yeah, into the swing of things of fall sports with the kids. And, I don't know, lots of business stuff I'm focusing on. No home projects now, other than the lawnmower that broke mid-mow. So that's at the shop right now. So, but yeah, other than that, pretty good. Getting in a groove, I'd say.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I got another solid month in before Christmas hits and everything goes off the rails again.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm glad to hear that.
Cool. So I don't remember the last time we recorded. It might have been maybe a month ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Right. As listeners have probably noticed, over time, if you've been with us since the beginning, not sure how many there are you are, except, me and Nate right here. we've changed our cadences over time. I think in the beginning it was every week. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah, for a while.
And sometimes we did batches. We did like record a couple and then release them every week. I don't know. I think we did that almost for like a year, I would say. And then it got to like a 2 week cadence pretty consistently. And then if you probably noticed maybe over the last 6 months or so, we sometimes skip ones and it's no longer like you there's as a listener, you probably don't have a regular, it's Searching for SaaS Wednesday. Was it Wednesdays we usually release?
Yes, Wednesdays.
So kind of continuing that trend, I think Nate and I have come to a decision that we're going to go on a bit of a hiatus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad because we've had a lot of fun talking about this stuff, every week or every other week, and a lot of good chats. And yeah, life is just getting busy, and we're having trouble keeping up with things to be able to keep recording with any regularity. And so, yeah, we'd like to, we're going to take a break for a bit. And yeah, maybe we'll be back. Maybe we won't. We'll kind of see where things go. But I think today's a great day to be, thinking about how things have gone over the last number of years.
Right. So today we're going to probably chat a little bit down the memory lane and this maybe recap the, why we even started this, which if I think about it, makes a lot of sense why we're kind of going on a hiatus now. But over the course of this episode, we also wanted to talk about just kind of other three lessons learned. I asked Nate about if you could kind of think of a few before the recording. And so we'll kind of talk a bit about that too.
Yeah. So the day of looking back, and I'm just going to look up and see when did we first start recording this, because it's been a while, but go ahead.
So as I recall, and again, revisionist history, right? So I'm not going to go back and look specifically, but I do remember why we started, right? So in the beginning, it was, we definitely took inspiration from some friends of the pod that had a podcast that I also think is no longer running, but it was between Colleen and Michelle, who had a podcast where it was interesting because they were in different places in the journey. Oftentimes, a lot of these ride along SaaS podcasts oftentimes have people in the same place, so it's sort of maybe workshopping or different things. But this one, we kind of, because I was talking to Nate a lot on the side about trying to help him with his SaaS, I think even in the beginning we had an intro. It was like something along the lines of, just learning from us in between, but Nate's kind of on this journey and I'm further ahead, but I'm trying to like help him find his path type of thing. So I think that was a bit one of the big kind of core reasons to even have these conversations. In addition to, I had interest in podcasts because we were listening to them all the time. And both of us are big podcast listening nerds. So having our own one, a reason to talk, a reason to kind of try out this medium and try to improve on speaking into a mic and things like that were kind of some of my goals as well.
Yeah. And I think we got those. We had lots of chats where you were giving advice and, kind of helping me along the way. And we also, got to keep up as friends, which was really nice too. And I think also maybe one of the goals that you had at the beginning too, is just to have a knowledge base available for people that want to listen in and glean some things from the discussions that we have. And I think we also did that too. We've got 128 episodes up there now, and lots of different topics in there that you can search through, and the descriptions have some details in there too. So I think we did get those goals.
Right, right. And so I think one of the more important ones, and Nate, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the things is like, Nate's not really searching for SaaS anymore at this point in time. So it doesn't mean he does not have interest. It just means, I think life has happened to you in terms of, you know, priorities and other things that are important to you at this stage in life, and other things that are taking up large chunks of your time and attention. So SaaS has kind of been a little bit more on the back burner, and it kind of always was this side thing. Never went, I think, like fully on, like, hey, I'm turning off everything else. I'm not, you know, working any other, you know, consulting or jobs or anything like that. So it's always been kind of this spare time thing. But I think previously you had a decent chunk you could commit to that. And I think a lot of that might be having other priorities ahead of you.
No, and that's exactly it. Consulting has kind of exploded on me. And I don't have the amount of free time and the free headspace to be able to give it the proper time that it should. You know, when I was feeling kind of guilty. I'm like, oh, we have a podcast recording, but I haven't really, you know, done enough to really have anything to talk about. And so it's like, okay, this is just, we need to put this on pause and, you know, give it some time. I'm sure it'll come back. I'm sure there'll be another time where things slow down again and be able to get back to that.
And it's hard, as we both have families. Referral Rock did get started technically after I had kids, but also, I'll be honest, I was not searching as long, right? So in this phase of trying to get traction, trying to get paid customers, trying to get something that could, you know, replace your current consulting income, mine came at a different time and place and got to that quicker to where this was the only thing, right? So that searching period and that searching window, which I think is different for everyone, and there's, you know, personality-based things, there's what's going on in the market, there's technology shifts, there's all kinds of reasons, and it's sort of a mixed bag, so to speak, of if someone finds that, you know, or not, and how many reps they put in and all lots of different factors, which actually alludes to kind of one of my lessons that I was actually wrote down as well. But anyway, you had some comments?
Yeah. Like I think you're right. It has been something I've been searching for a long time. And actually I've kind of questioned that a bit too, right? I've just, I've been looking for so long, like, is there, you know, am I doing something wrong? Is there like something with the approach or something like that? Or is it just one of those things that, you know, you're looking for a diamond in the mine and, you know, you're mining all over the place, but you just haven't happened across one yet. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think there's all those factors, right? So at least if we go into that, because that was probably one of my, when I wrote down on lessons learned, is there's no exact formula.
Yes.
As much as we've tried to, as much of engineers, as much as like people say there are frameworks, yes, those can increase your odds. And change your order of operations. So you're spending more time in certain areas. You know, I think even the last projects, and we'll kind of walk through those in a minute, but this latest project Nate was working on, I don't think you've actually even coded anything yet.
No, I haven't. It's amazing.
Yes. So, which is interesting because you go from this, you know, you hear advice that says, oh, like, get a version out there, MVP and all that type of stuff. And, you know, we kind of, this last run at Nate searching for SaaS, we kind of we're taking a different approach, which I still like that approach. And maybe when we pick it up again, we'll kind of retrend some of those steps. But yeah, I think there's no exact formula. There's timing involved. There's luck involved. There's personal life priorities, like we talked about with families and things like that, because if you did this and you didn't have a family or early on in your career, could you have done it and had more spare time? You know, there's less time commitments and you have a day job and you're like spending your nights and weekends, like throwing spaghetti against the wall, trying to find your SaaS. Right. And then these shifts, as we know, as you're seeing one now, like, change over time, right? Like alignment with your different priorities. And I think those are some of the big shifts that happen and are not like, you know, you're learning a lot along the way in different areas. You've learned about sales, you've learned about marketing, all these other different areas that I think are the broad skill sets you need to hopefully crack the nut. But then some people just get lucky. Some people, mm-hmm. it just happens like their first shot. And then hopefully you're not listening to their advice, because more them finding it, probably more was like timing and luck, which is fine. Not discrediting the other work involved either.
Yeah. But I think you're so right about that, like that there isn't an exact formula, because we have tried, boy, like we've tried a number of different things. I remember, you know, you were giving me projects of things to research and, you know, kind of using that as a way to narrow things down and some of these other kind of formulas, right? And I think you're bang on there. Like it's not something that's just like clear cut. Yeah, you're right. There's definitely things that help. And I think especially with this last one, I've really noticed the amount of effort I've put in has seemed to be a lot more higher leverage than some of the other ones. I think that's a great, great lesson.
So, okay. Well, let's go into kind of, maybe we'll start with the first one. So why don't we start there? So let's talk a bit about, I guess when we first started the podcast, you had Status List.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember what format was it in. Was it more of that initial idea of trying to do like monitor all kinds of other backend API services, or I don't remember the exact time.
Yeah, I don't recall the exact timing either, but there was a phase where I was trying to kind of be an aggregator. So we'll aggregate all of your the systems you rely on, and then use that as a way to also give you, you know, extra benefit on your uptime monitoring. And then, yeah, we went through all of the marketing kind of things with Status List too, you know, writing SEO and some paid ads and different things like that. But I think it was always kind of it was often a back burner kind of project. It was, we would kind of pick it up for a little while and then we'd kind of leave it alone. Right. And we'd look for other things. So I think
it still exists.
Oh, it does. I am still amazed by that project. The amount of code I put into it, I probably spent 2 weeks coding that. And, right. You know, it still just sends me a nice little check every month. And I'm very thankful for that.
So what was the second project?
So then I think we got into the scanning of hardware stores and selling the price data.
That was one of the ones I forgot.
And so that was a lot of coding and a lot of, you know, browser bot detection avoidance, you know, and all of that kind of stuff. I had a lot of fun coding that project. Trying to sell that project though was horrible. Like I went to people and they said, yes, we would love to buy this. And then when I went to actually go and ask for a check, then nothing would happen. And right. I went through a lot of contacts on that one. And yeah, that was something.
And I think that was also because like a lot of your consulting work and your other relationships and business connections have been in that world, right? And been in this sort of like hardware and construction space and things like that. So it felt like, okay, I have an audience, or I have partnerships, I have people I could talk to about this. And this is a problem that they've talked about a bit. And then as you kind of dug into it and then built the first version, and maybe that's what also proved to them, we're like, actually, this isn't that big a deal, right? Like, even if someone says, oh, I will do this. Oh, yes, that's such a big pain point. If I had that, that'd be amazing. But humans are fickle and humans are weird because they can't predict the future very well. None of us can. And you go in there and then you're like actually doing it. You're like, oh, yeah, I should never thought about that, but it's really not that important to me. Or I'm not willing to make all the changes necessary. Is that really worth the ROI of tweaking these little prices for this thing and sending out another person with more stickers into the hardware store to update these that often?
Yeah. And I think that really got to like my coming into building these projects. I've always thought, well, like I should tell them how they should run this part of their business better, because I, you know, I have an insight, and so they should, you know, this would be good for them, and I can explain to them why. And I think as I've gone on, I've realized more and more that like, I'm not going to be able to change people really. And maybe I could if I had a lot of time and money, but that going to where people are at and trying to understand the problems that they perceive that they have and trying to work on those, I think is a much better use of time than trying to, you know, make these next kind of improvements that require like a whole shift change.
That's interesting, because I almost take it in two different ways. One, because it's something I've thought a lot about with Referral Rock and some of the direction we're going lately. I actually think it's a little bit of both, right? So like, yes, there's sort of the, I'm already doing this thing and can I make it better? Or you don't have to worry as much about change management, right? They're already going this path and it's like, oh, I can do, you're trying to get to X. I could just get you a bus ride there and you get there faster. It's like, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But then the other one is like, maybe this, now I'm getting to weird Josh analogy phase, but like there's this idea of this plane and you can fly and it's like, ooh, I don't know about that, but that,
yeah.
So there is still that 10x1 that is like selling them a whole system and selling them a whole new approach and mentality. Mm-hmm. And there are people that are going to buy into the whole system, and you'd be like, oh, so that means I no longer have to buy shoes and walk and get tires and all this thing anymore, and I can get there quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, like for the right person, I want the whole airport system. Like I want that whole right. thing, but that's a different sell. It's a different game, but it's also like more of a, you're going to have to buy into a whole new practice and a whole new mentality, but only if it's that important to you. And maybe that's a nice bar of being like, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is the pain big enough? Is the ROI big enough mm-hmm. to do those things? And that's where I think it's hard to get into that little mix is like, are these small iterations? Like, am I willing to do that? Is that worth it? And most of these, it's like, is it, at the end of it, is it worth it? But with a big enough 10x thing, it might be for certain people, not everyone, but
yeah.
but for the right person, and just saying, okay, cool, you're bought in and you paid for the thing. Now here's the system out of the box. You do 1, 2, and 3, and now we can get you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And just try not to be like too far down the jet plane side of things, I think is like, I've tended that way. Except for a status list, I really want the opposite on that. Like, here, let me give you a very small incremental improvement on other uptime.
Right. So. And some of these, what we've learned is like, what are the right projects for like indie bootstrap SaaS, right? Like
yes.
those are part of those things I think we started to learn and hone into as well. Because there's just general ideation, general like trying to find... Mm-hmm. customer research and trying to find customer problems. And then also like, does this make sense? What are the other motions going to be involved? Right. So, okay. So what was the name of that one anyway?
That's called Product Sonar. Yeah. Yeah. And so we tried to do a couple pivots off of that too. And we even had an episode called Josh Tries to Convince Nate to Pivot. And so then, yeah, we tried to do some things around, yeah, like, is there a different market for this same data, that kind of thing. And eventually then I kind of gave up on that. And then we went towards Chrome plugins for testing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
So that was the whole, ways to help testers do a better job, give them in context hints, give them as they're going along, basically give them helpful information and make it easy to do their job. Yeah,
so what happened with that one in terms of like you had people sort of using some of that, like some of it, you had some people using it. I think you definitely kind of got yourself a little more embedded in the QA and manual testing communities. But like, mm-hmm. what was?
Yeah, so that one was interesting because it was easy to get in touch with people. People were very willing to talk, and it was easy to get into that community, at least for myself, mm-hmm. just because being a software person, you kind of have a bit of authority there.
And I feel like it's an underserved, like, who's talking to QA people, right? And almost
But then, I think really the problem with that one was that the testers, A, didn't want their job to be under attack. They felt that, mm-hmm. you know, any sort of automation mm-hmm. was going to, like, make them not useful anymore. And so there's already the push against automation. And then...
they already had this fear and anxiety around like, the robots taking over.
Exactly. And then there is also... just their unwillingness to pay. They don't have a large budget for these things. You know, maybe companies do, but the companies, they were really just buying the large altogether kind of systems.
Yeah.
Yep. And they weren't too interested in buying, you know, a little one-off tool that, you know, their testers didn't even maybe want to pay for themselves. So, yeah. But that was also a fun adventure of just getting into a community and figuring out how to be part of that. I really did enjoy that aspect of it, just, you know, to serve people and be there for them, and felt like I could really help them. So
And then there was a bit of a pivot, and I don't remember if testing taxi was the original of the browser, you know, browser Chrome plugin, like mm-hmm. testing assistant type of thing, or I know you kind of always were thinking about that, and during the course of this is when the earlier rises of AI started, I think, coming mm-hmm. about, and you were kind of kicking the tires around more like automated rover testing type of things.
Yeah, I built an incredible amount of code for that. And boy, that was a lot of fun, but man, it's so sad that it's just all garbage code now. But it was, we're in the early time of ChatGPT and that sort of thing. And I used ChatGPT actually quite a bit to help do that roving sort of control and command sort of thing, like a lot like the what we have now with that those agents doing browser stuff, or even the desktop stuff. So it was basically that before that was available. Yeah, just trying to kind of take Testing Taxi, the extension, and try to go down the AI automation route. Because basically I realized like these people are afraid of the automation, but what if I just become the automation? There's a whole crowd of people that likes the automation. So Right. Maybe I can be the simple automation for people who don't know how to code. And there definitely was other products in that category. So there did seem to be something there. And looking back, like I probably could have made something of that if I really just went at it and only did that and tried to get big. But yeah, that's not really the kind of market I'd like to be in. I don't want to be in hyper growth startup land. I'd want to do something that I can manage myself.
Right. Yeah. Like there could have potentially been an opportunity, but it also would have been like, you would have to go all in on it in terms of your time and whatnot. Like it could have been, oh, hey, I'm starting down this path. And now maybe if we did see the path of like more of these agentic browsing things, and it's like, oh, let me make an open source type of thing and like all of a sudden get more attraction in those areas. And maybe it's like, or, it becomes the MongoDB of this, like people that want to do, build their own or fork off of this or that type of thing. And you would get, and then you have a AI company walks along and be like, hey, can I just sponsor this? Or can I buy the project and buy you essentially? Right. There could have been, a different thing. But again, the risk profile is different, right? It's like, it's not why you built it. You don't want to be like, you're not a 22-year-old with something to prove and like, just like, I just want to code my mark on the world. You might want that, but it's not, you don't have the time to do that stuff.
No, and I want to be able to serve and tend my little garden of people. Right. I don't want to make a mass market or something like that. Right. Because I think if we've seen with the, like even Playwright AI, Playwright has some AI stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kind of saw a bit of that coming already at that point before it was out. And same with like the model changes and stuff like that. There was just such large step changes that I realized really quickly. I was building on top of things that were moving far faster than I was willing to keep up with. Like I would have, if I had raised money and hired, 50 people, then I probably could have made a go of that. Right. But that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah. And then that leads us to where we are today, right?
Right. And then that's on to the tool for the support people in manufacturing companies. So yeah, just done a lot of research and outreach for that. And no code.
No code. Concentrated much more on the marketing and sales side and getting to customers before you even coded it, which I think was probably, if anything, a knee-jerk reaction to probably way too much code on Testing Taxi.
Yeah. And I think it's the right call. Like, I think you had good advice on that. Just if I think through, like, that's always been my pitfall is like, I can code like incredible things, but I can't market it to save my life. And I think that's the bottleneck. And so I think I got to figure that out. And it was good too, because I think there wasn't strong enough uptick on that offering yet. I think maybe with some massaging, maybe there would be something there, but yeah, it's not ready for that yet.
I also probably just, one of the things I've been thinking about too, that I wrote down to eventually talk about on one of these episodes, which is sort of like, I like this general idea of, is it something on someone's like to-do list, right? Like maybe it's not on the top of the list, or anywhere on the list is great. But like, if it's on the list, but it's just like, especially if it's one that's, maybe things are on the list that they're going to do themselves. But if it's something on the list, that's just like, I know I should be doing this. I know this can be better. Like, so there's already like, you don't have to convince them that this is a good thing, but now all of a sudden you serve it up on a platter, right? It's just like, oh, I know eating protein is good for me. Right. Like, but then all of a sudden you come in and being like, okay, you don't have to cook it. You don't have to, it's like right here. I know it's in the bottom of your list. Maybe you're not eating enough protein every day, but if I put it in front of you and make it look like your favorite food and like, with that, and it's like, yeah, you don't have to convince them over the hump that that's a good thing. Right. And the difference between that and being like, oh, I wish this was easier, but that wish that was easier is sort of it's a tough fallacy. It's like, it's a trap. Potentially, because it could be good, but it could also just be like, oh, now that, like we said with the hardware thing, like, oh, now that it is, like, actually, do I even really need it? Like, it was kind of more of an idea, and someone just kind of ran with my idea, but they validate. And then actually, once I started using it, I'm like, yeah, I don't even use it that much. It just sits here on the desk.
Yeah. But I think you're right, though, that what should I be doing, or what do I know I should be doing? I think that'd be a really good way to find ideas. Like, I think next time, if I need to find more ideas, I would like to think that I would go to managers and just ask them that kind of question, and just try and group things together. Because I think I've found, like, I've often tried to search for ideas by, well, like, is there some insight here, or is there some new tech here or there? And I think there's probably something to that. But I think where it really, you get the someone says, take my money, is when you're talking to someone with the ability to pay, and they have a problem that you can solve. And so I think you go to them first, I think, might be a faster way.
Right. And then you're using technology and other ways to creatively make yourself more distinct than,
for sure, yeah,
like the existing, you know, solution. So it's like, to a manager, it might be like, oh yeah, my team needs more training and whatever, and you know, maybe something as simple as that, and you know, training in AI and stuff. But I haven't had time to look. I know I should be doing it, but if you walked in the door and it's like, hey, I could train your team, I can come do an on-site and I can do this. I have this method and I have this thing. And it's just like, oh yeah, like I've been mean, I just haven't even had time to search. I don't even know where to search yet. And you just walked into the front door with that on a platter. And all of a sudden it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe how many times my consulting clients ask me for things that I say, like, there's a really good solution for that already. And it exists right over here. Let me tell you about it. Mm-hmm. And so if you come across one of those that is, you know, not popular enough, and you just outmarket them, like, you totally could do that. Go ahead.
On to other lessons, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've talked about a few of them already, but you know, one of the ones I had was, of course, that no exact formula. So that was one of the ones we really chatted about. So how about you? What are some of the key lessons?
Yeah. So I think my first one is, maybe the most relevant, like from the most recent project, kind of brought it out. And we've talked about this a bunch already on this episode, of just that talking to people, I think, is the hard part. And that's, I think, where the rubber meets the road. Like, it's people that are going to buy the thing. It's not landing pages necessarily. Like, the landing pages are helpful, but I think, you know, start with the people and focus on them and what they talk about and care about. And then you can, you know, build up the marketing assets afterwards, or even build up the product and the feature set. I think that I've often tried to live in my little silo and make ideas about it and not get out there and really see what people have to say about things.
Yeah, I like that. It's like kind of starting at the one-on-one before you get to one-to-many or one-to-some, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you really lean into that? And I think one of the other ones that I kind of was at least trying to coach you on before, which is like, don't like do the one-on-ones and then just wait for, you're basically waiting for enough signal to just jump to the next one. And it's like, that might be there, but let's hold on a little longer. Let's hold on to do a few more, do more in that phase. And maybe even in the next one, the one, the sum. And it's just like, okay, how long can you hold here before, like, you know, just you're, instead of just going to the grocery store hungry type of analogy, it's just like, I'm just going to eat the thing and I'm done. And it's like, no. Let's, the whole idea is to gain more confidence in this phase or in this area. And what you need is more sample within that, and not just be in a rush to say, first is the first one. You know, it's like, I think we used that analogy in the past, like dating versus like, this is the first person that likes me back, I'm going to marry them. It's like,
yeah, right.
Hold on. Yes, that can be the end game, but also, let's be sure about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that really gets to, like, for myself, I don't tend towards reaching out to people. That's a hard thing for me. And I think, you just have to put in the time and realize that it's a process and be okay with that. I think I've learned a lot with that.
Let's see.
Did you have more?
Yeah. I mean, other ones were probably on this. It goes back to one of the source reasons of the podcast muscle, right? Mm. So I don't know if I do have less ums and ahs and things like that, but with the prevalence of software like this, you can easily click a button and eliminate like those types of things for podcasting. So, but I do feel like it has helped me think about content and structure, and also that there's a lot in between. Even if you come into an episode like this with three bullet points and just having a nice fluid, you know, conversation about it, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, I don't think we were ever of the thinking we needed to script everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it made me think a lot about evergreen like content creation, right? So we had a nice through line with what we're talking about, and it's kind of natural, as we've talked about, this that through line is fading, right? And it doesn't mean it can't come back. It just means it's not there. We've changed formats to kind of realign on some things over the course of the years, right? Which took more energy and time. But I think I learned a lot about that, which definitely affects how I think about like marketing content, how I think about just organizing thoughts with a through line and things like that.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's been really nice to get used to public speaking in a way. When you're on here, you know, you feel a little bit under the microscope. And yeah, I think just trying to think through how we present our thoughts on the fly, which is kind of interesting. I remember with the first couple episodes, listening to myself as a way to try and learn. And it's so painful to listen to yourself talk and like the things you say.
I still can't do that. Or I still have not. Like, I know people can, and I know it's probably not a bad practice. Also, now with the AI stuff, probably could just plug in the transcripts and just pull more out of the things and ask it critiques versus doing your own self-evaluation, which can be challenging and time consuming.
Yeah. But I think hearing the tone and stuff can be helpful. Like, I only did it for the first, I think, 10 episodes or something like that, but
yeah.
Yeah, that has been a journey. I had another lesson, which was to do things that are both fun and a good business idea. Because I think there was somewhere I just did things that were fun. And you know, there was maybe a rough business idea there, but mostly I just wanted to code the idea. I thought it was so cool. And the other being like just to go for the business idea and kind of have no heart in it. And I think that having the mix of those is really important just for sustainability, right? Like, if there's no business idea there, it's going to fizzle out anyways, because I don't have infinite free time. But also, if it's not fun, then it's also, kind of, it drains you. It's not something that's life-giving. And so I think that that was a good learning for me.
Because I do remember prompting you before, I think, before, I don't know if it was before Product Sonar, or I think it was in between Sonar and the product or the hardware scanning one and the testing taxi one.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably an episode in there somewhere that has it, but it was along those lines of like, well, what do you enjoy doing? Because I even was just like, aren't you basically getting tired of coding and not like, because that would bother me. And at that point for me, I was like, I'm doing more of like, what can I pre-validate? And you're like, I don't mind. It doesn't bother me. Like at that point in time, remember, you're just like, it doesn't bother me to waste energy. And it's just, you know, it would be throwaway. But then after that last run, it was like, okay, maybe now. And like, you know, amount of time and energy. And before, it was probably like, almost like, this seems really cool. And can I create an excuse to do it? That feels legitimate, that maybe has an end business result, right? So, I think you're right in trying to like hold the line on and maybe not be in a rush and trying to find that in between. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes it takes a little bit of time to learn these things. Do you have another one?
I mean, it goes on to another thematic one we've talked about, but it was, I wrote down alignment importance. Similar, but it kind of goes throughout. And again, finding that like, you know, what you want to spend your time on. And if you can double up, triple up, like on different things that give you that energy and also accomplish these things, right? I think those can be really powerful, and which also alludes to kind of the, as we've talked about, the hiatus we're going on and where we're really no longer kind of in that alignment phase with each other. And that's okay, right? Like that's just part of what we're doing, right? Like I think my stuff was being fed by your energy of trying to search for SaaS, right? Because I could pop on and tell you what I think and be a coach and not have any real skin in the game, but just kind of be solicited advice, but also just like help try to best help you and kind of push back on you and kind of, you know, coach. I do enjoy, you know, coaching and helping people as well that want to be, you know, helped and coached.
Yeah.
So with your sort of like fading of that, also kind of, obviously I always have other things going on, but I needed very little prep, and for you as well, because that was where your energy was going. So we had good alignment for a long time on that.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll come back, or who knows?
Well, and I have to say, Josh, I really appreciate that. Like the amount of time you've put into coaching me, and just your willingness to share your experience and stuff like that. That's meant a lot to me over the years. And I can't thank you enough for that. I'm just really, really grateful for that.
All right. Well, I've gotten a lot out of it as well. So
good.
And we still haven't met in person. We've almost done it a couple times with different.
Well, next summer I am coming to Virginia. So
are you?
I'm sure we can arrange something.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be cool. All right. Any other? Hey, this is about our normal wrap up time. So anything else you want to say before we go on hiatus?
I think I've said it all. You?
No, I think I've said it all and repeated myself throughout, like I've done in many episodes.
Some of us need the repetition, so we get it. There you go.
So, right. Anyway, well, so yeah, we'll hope to talk to you all another day. And I don't know, you don't necessarily have to kill us off your feed. We might pop in here, maybe, who knows, but maybe not. No promises. But Nate and I are definitely still keep plenty of contact with each other, so no worries on that.
Yeah. Well, so long for now.
All right. So long for now.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher, and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes. Episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups. Or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.